Radio Prague News.
A Czech delegation leaves for Beirut on Tuesday night to try to gain more information on the case of the five Czechs who went missing in Lebanon in mid-July. Consumption of electricity in the Czech Republic has increased due to the extremely hot and dry weather, and more than 8 billion crowns from European subsidies is to be spent on fighting drought and on the retention of water in the landscape in the course of the next 5 years. A Czech delegation leaves for Beirut on Tuesday night to try to gain more information on the case of the five Czechs who went missing in Lebanon in mid-July, the spokeswoman for the foreign ministry has told the Czech news agency, adding that the delegation should return on Wednesday night. The delegation will include Deputy Foreign Minister Jakub Kulhánek and the head of the anti-organized crime squad Robert Šlachta. The Czech delegation will, among other things, try to establish close cooperation with local investigators and share information that the Czech side has assembled on the case. Two Czech intelligence experts are already in Lebanon working in the field. Consumption of electricity in the Czech Republic has increased due to the extremely hot and dry weather, Czech radio reported on Tuesday. According to Pavel Cirani, director of ČEZ's strategic division, the demand is currently up by around 8% compared to the same period last year. Most of the energy is being used for air conditioning and cooling equipment. The head of the Czech electricity transmission system operator, Vladimír Tošovský, told Czech radio that the country's energy grid has not been overloaded so far, unlike in the neighbouring Poland, where energy supplies had to be curbed for larger consumers. More than 8 billion crowns from European subsidies is to be spent on fighting drought and on the retention of water in the landscape in the course of the next 5 years, Petra Roubičková, spokeswoman for the Czech Environment Ministry, told the Czech news agency. The money from the Environment Operational Programme will be invested in projects increasing the flow in riverbeds and the renovation of damaged or vanished areas and landscape elements in which water would naturally accumulate, such as riverheads, pools and swamps. While the Czech Republic has invested a lot of money into flood prevention, in recent years it is poorly prepared for long periods of drought. Czechs are not too interested in their health, according to a recent survey by the Czech Republic's State Health Institute. The Czech Republic has finished 7th out of 8 EU countries that took part in the health literacy survey last year, ranking, among others, behind the Netherlands, Ireland, Germany and Poland. The survey showed that nearly 50% of Europeans had poor hygiene habits. Only a little over 30% of Czechs passed the health literacy test, which shows the degree to which they are able to understand basic health information and services and make responsible decisions regarding their health. Barrel organ players from the Czech Republic and abroad have gathered in Prague to attend a one-day festival called Flašinečie, or The Barrel Organ is Alive, organized by the National Museum. Concerts can be heard on Tuesday on Prague's Kampa Island in the St. Nicholas Church on the Old Town Square and at the Czech Museum of Music. The event dedicated to the historical mechanical instrument was launched last year and is the first in a series of international barrel organist gatherings that will take place between now and the end of the month in Liberec, Brno and Pekarovice in the Jeseníky Mountains. I'm Ruth Franíková and that's the end of the news. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, 8 months after it first appeared on the market, medical marijuana still remains unaffordable for most of those who need it. Majority of Czechs take their work with them on vacation. And later on in the program, we talk to Katka Mikulková, one of the founders of an unusual travel agency, Travelab. All that coming up, so please stay with us. More than 2 years after a law legalizing medical marijuana came into force and 8 months after it first appeared on the market, it remains out of reach for the majority of patients who need it. Finding a doctor authorized to prescribe it and a pharmacy that stocks it is not easy. But the biggest hurdle on the road to obtaining it is its exorbitant price. Daniela Lazarová has more.
Medical marijuana was legalized in April of 2013 following years of lobbying by associations of patients with diseases such as multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease and chronic joint pain sufferers, whose members were forced to break the law in order to ease their pain. However, bringing the legislation into practice has not proved as easy as expected. Although the law was already in place, there was no supplier on the home market and the authorities had to call a public tender to select one. This happened in December of last year, but the company is not yet ready to begin deliveries. So for the time being, medical marijuana is being imported from the Netherlands and is only sold in a few select pharmacies on an electronic prescription at 300 crowns per gram. Since medical marijuana is not covered by health insurance, this is a major hurdle for the vast majority of patients who simply cannot afford it. According to experts, a patient with multiple sclerosis would need to pay 18,000 crowns for a monthly dose. 17 specialists around the country are so far authorized to prescribe medical marijuana. They have so far issued 21 electronic prescriptions for 221 grams of medical marijuana altogether, a much smaller amount than originally expected. Dr. Tomáš Zábranský, a leading drug specialist who spearheaded the drive for the legalization of medical marijuana, says it is not surprising that demand for it has not been higher.
The diseases which would benefit from the use of medical marijuana are debilitating diseases, meaning that those who really need it are people on an invalid pension. So given the fact that medical marijuana is beyond their economic means, it's a small wonder we don't see it applied as much as expected.
In addition to the price, there are other teething problems. Not all doctors who would be authorized to prescribe it have registered to do so, either because they lack experience with medical marijuana or because there is no pharmacy in the vicinity that has it on stock. Moreover, due to its high price, pharmacies are cautious about stocking it for fear they might not be able to sell it. However, this may soon change for the better. The company, which has been granted the right to grow medical marijuana for the Czech market, says it could be ready to start deliveries at the end of this year. This would bring the price of medical marijuana down to 75 crowns per gram and make it far more affordable to those who need it. As a result, pressure from patients could result in more specialists registering to prescribe it and more pharmacies ready to put it on stock.
Daniela Lazarová with that report. Now, summer holidays, when people were able to kick back without once thinking about work, are increasingly becoming a thing of the past. According to a new survey conducted by Intel in the Czech Republic, some two-thirds of Czechs now take their work with them, at the very least checking or responding to text messages and emails while on vacation. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Some 1,200 people were polled in the new survey by Intel regarding how they spend their vacation, namely whether they take their work along or leave the everyday grind at home. According to the study, two-thirds of Czechs now take their tablet, notebook or other device with them as well, retaining internet access and remaining within reach. The survey found that of the two-thirds who continued to work while away, one-third works intensively. That goes against psychologists' warning that holiday time should be used primarily to break daily routines and get much-needed rest. Psychologist Jeroným Klimeš told Czech Radio that workaholics need to learn when to shut off. If work-related activities cut drastically into vacation time or time spent with loved ones, something is amiss.
They are people who get bored at the cinema. When they are around a campfire and should be talking with friends, they get bored. If someone constantly pursues such activities, it is extreme.
Some psychologists say that while it is preferable to take a break from work while away, in some cases, presumably for some personalities, it is detrimental to be completely cut off. Michal Miovsky is the head of the addictology clinic at the General Teaching Hospital in Prague.
If someone is going to fret or worry about what awaits them when they get back after 10, 12 or 14 days, it may be better to stay in contact.
The study suggests that men, 62%, were a little more likely to work while on holiday than women, 51%, and that half of those who left electronic devices at home while on holiday missed them. Those who missed the devices the most, somewhat surprisingly, are in the age bracket of 50 or more.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, if you don't like organized trips abroad, but you are not quite sure how to arrange a journey on your own, a new Czech travel agency called Travelove might be just the thing for you. From lunching with a local in Paris, taking a ride with the Huskies in the Arctic Circle, or meeting with an Irish musician in Cork, you can choose basically any experience you want and get it within a vacation tailor-made to your needs. Launched at the end of last year, Travelove has already opened an office in London and has been gradually expanding all over the world. When I met with one of its founders, Katka Mikulkova, I first asked her what led her and her sister to establish this unusual travel agency.
I think we had two reasons with my sister. The first one was a personal one. We are always big travelers and lived abroad for some years. And then suddenly when we started having serious jobs and then we had kids, it seemed like there was no time for the real traveling anymore. We were looking for a service that would help us with the planning of the real traveling, and we really couldn't find one. So we started one ourselves. And the business reason to me was the travel business seems to be quite conservative and fragmented. There are a lot of things, but they don't seem to change very quickly. In the last years, though, I saw there were a lot of pretty exciting startups starting. And so we just wanted to be part of it and came up with something of our own.
So what exactly is the difference between your travel agency and ordinary travel agencies?
I'd say the first thing is that we are not about hotels and cheap flight tickets or buses taking you anywhere. We're about the content, what you actually get to do, get to know, get to learn in the place. So we're all based around this. The first thing you decide with us is what you want to do, what you want to discover, not where you want to be staying or how much it costs. We still do hotels for you, or we find accommodation for you if you want to, so you don't have to worry about anything. But that's not the key thing about us. So we're about the content and we pack it all into a guidebook. So that's the second thing I think that is very different from regular travel agencies, that with us, the first thing it's about the content and the second thing is you travel individually. We don't stand behind your back all the time, just like when you go, let's say, with a group of people and you have a guide with you all the time. With us, you just have the guidebook, so you're still free-spirited and you do things the way you want to do.
If I understand it correctly, is it basically tailor-made according to my needs?
Yes, the journeys are prepared by local trip designers, is how we call them. So, for example, a girl in Cork, in Ireland, she knows the place, so she puts together a shopping basket, basically, different activities that you can do, either with locals or by yourself. A lot of them are for free for that reason, because they can be just a walk, but a walk to a nice place that the local people know. And she prepares these activities, and what you do is you pick from them. You do like an online e-shop. So you decide, oh, I want to go to Cork. This sounds really nice. And then you go into every activity and you say, oh, I want to ride a horse on the beach with a local guy. I want to do a photo tour downtown. Oh, I want to meet an Irish musician and I want to go to this beach. And you don't have to worry about anything as, do I have enough time to do all this? What do I do when? How do I order the musician? How can I book the horses? You don't have to do anything. You just choose what you want and then your wish comes true, basically, because we take all that and we do that for you. And before you leave, you get a real guidebook. It's kind of like a Lonely Planet made just for you. And inside you find it all. So we even have travelers who just open the guidebook once they're in the airplane. And before that, they have no idea where they're going, what's going to be happening. But inside they find everything, how to get from the airport up to what kinds of horses there are and why do they breed these kinds of horses. So it's not just about the practical information, but it's also about the fun facts, about the insights from the place.
How do you actually choose these trip designers? Because I guess they are a very important part of what you offer.
This basically is a peer-to-peer model which is quite a popular thing in all kinds of businesses nowadays. So what we do is we connect the local person from somewhere with the traveler through a high quality standardized product, basically. So you don't have to worry if the trip designer is reliable, if the things he picked and put together make sense and are correct. We do that. But still, the trip designer is a regular local person. They come to us. We try to just talk about what we do, and people come and want to do trips for us. And the ones that really go through the whole process, because it takes a long time, really become our trip designers.
So these people, they find you on the internet, or do you actually address them when you travel to the place?
Right now, it's still both ways. At the beginning, when we still were not sure how to do it, how to set the whole process, what will all be involved and how difficult it will be, I went around Prague and was trying to see how to put it all together, talk to people, talk to different businesses. And then when I had a better idea and we had our first guidebook in our hand, we involved our friends or friends of our friends that we know, the traveler, photographers, our PRists, the ones that could be interested. And with some of them, we made our first trips, and we're still changing the process along the way. And in spring, we finally had a final contract proposal for the trip designers, the process described. So we finally made it like really public. We mainly communicate in social media, in different kinds of groups that are about traveling. And that's how people come to us.
When you prepare those journeys, do you always travel to the place yourself to check how it works before you actually launch it as a product?
Yes, that's part of what I said, that we are peer-to-peer, but we're in the middle, really making sure everything's reliable and works well and perfect. So before the first client can go, like a real paying client can go on the trip, we always have a tester testing the trip. We still do it with our own people, our own team. So I tested a lot of the trips. Everybody thinks it's the best and funniest part. Actually, it's quite a lot of work because you really have to dig into every detail, correct many things in the guidebook. You just can't just only enjoy it. You really have to work it. The idea, though, is that as we work as a community of the trip designers all over the world, the travelers, hopefully one day all over the world, that later on we will also involve the community into the testing. Right now, it's still us, just the back office team, doing it.
You said that so far you are only limited to Europe. What are the most popular destinations, and what kind of journeys are most popular among your clients?
Yes, that was till this spring. And then when we shouted to the world what we're doing, people started coming from all over the world. We actually launched Singapore and Israel, and we have some South America and even Africa in process. So we started expanding. But as I said, it's a long process. So many of these who already contacted us in April or May are still working on their trips. So still, most of the people who go on our trips still go to Europe. I'd say even though we try to have also trips into different kinds of smaller regions or areas outside of the big cities, still the most sales are to the big cities. Czechs like Budapest, Rome. Czechs actually also like our Czech trips. We have a trip to Macocha, to Pálava, even to Mostecko, to the northern region.
Which is not a typical sort of tourist destination, I would say.
Which I totally don't understand. Why? Because it's really beautiful and very interesting. And it corresponds with how we wanted to do it. We wanted to have the trips as good, as interesting, and as deep into the local stuff that even people from the same country could go on that trip. So what I'm trying to say, for example, even a French family from the south should buy our Brittany trip and still love it.
So what, can you give me an example? How do you actually make these Czech trips interesting for Czechs? What are the specialties that you offer?
Okay, so well, for example, if you go to Mostecko, which everybody thinks is weird, the trip designer from that region found an interesting chocolate shop, an interesting little business that you'd never think could work or be created in such a place. We have a local who shows you Most, the town, and explains what happened, the whole history of how it was all moved and how it changed and how it changed. Change the people who live there. Then you, for example, go further a little bit to a little farm, a local Katka who has her own little farm. So suddenly after seeing the city, you're in the nature making some fresh cheese with her. Then we have walks and hikes in the mountains. And out of this, you can make a 4 or 5 day trip really easily. We have this trip also for kids or families with kids. So then the kids get their own guidebook. That's actually how it works with the kids. The kids get their own guidebook with fun stuff to do along the way. So if the walk's too long, they always have something, a treasure to hide, a treasure to find, puzzles to solve along the way. When it's with kids, of course, the experiences are then shorter, but the idea should stay the same. The people should get to know the place, learn something new, both the adults and the kids.
If I'm not mistaken, you started your trial operation last October. How many clients have you had since then, and is their number growing?
Well, we started in October. We wanted to still catch the Christmas season, and we sold a lot of the trips as Christmas presents. So we made sales in Christmas, and then while they were already on the way, traveling, like different days and different people in different places, we were finally testing our operations that we can really handle it and how it will all work. And during that time, we just started having new sales coming in from the online world. So we actually celebrated client number 200 sometime in July. And yes, we're growing. We still have most of the clients from the Czech Republic, but we are also happy that we have first clients from America, from England, and we start getting offers or questions from people all over the world. It feels nice when, I don't know, there's an inquiry from India, for example, for our Finnish trip, and that's where we hope to grow.
That was Katka Mikulková, one of the founders of Travlove Travel Agency. And that edition of In Focus brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franíková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.